Today on the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast, we go over Triple Force Friday, some Obi-Wan series news, we go over a little bit of the Galaxy's Edge special, and talk about some new aliens that were revealed tonight on the pod. Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Sam and Chris, I am Ryan. We are very unfortunately missing Mike tonight. Guys, where is Mike tonight?
I think he's probably conducting more interviews. He's kept saying he didn't want to like ruin the surprise, but he's like, I've got an interview with George.
George who?
I don't know.
George Hamilton?
Yeah. Stephanopoulos.
George Stephanopoulos.
You got one with George Stephanopoulos.
I was going to say Stephanopoulos also. Isn't that weird?
I mean, he's the most... I mean, what's the third most...
Of the jungle.
Washington?
Of the
we
jungle.
We know it's not George. Yes, of course. He's interviewing a George. Who of the jungle? Do you think it says that on his birth certificate?
I'm not sure. For George of the Jungle? Yeah, probably. That was
it would
like Hanna-Barbera.
Cool.
That feels
it
like their
George
stage. He was interviewing
OT
Brendan
jungle.
Fraser. Remember that movie? Wow. What a week we had with Triple Force Friday. Can I ask a question? What does that mean?
What was the triple?
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
Is this? Oh, boy. If you're coming
Here's
here for
thing.
Explanation,
we,
folks.
We run a Star Wars podcast.
Yeah.
We run an empire of our own that involves Star Wars, and we couldn't figure it out. But let's start there. So Force Friday, for all intents and purposes, is the reveal of merchandise, which is very exciting.
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Do we agree?
I thought
let's talk about the format. I thought the format was interesting. They obviously had these pre-taped segments with stars of the movie.
Yes.
But they kind of presented it as this seamless thing, which I thought was really well done.
It was done as live. I think years prior, which I'm glad it was not this way, years prior they would do just like 24-hour coverage. And it was like, not to be rude, but it was like they were killing a lot of time.
A lot of dead air.
A lot of dead air to fill.
Yeah, sort of like the pod.
So we're kindred spirits in that sense.
They were biding time between movies.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it wasn't off here. That is true. But I kind of like the format. You had Warwick Davis kind of hosting. He's always delightful to see on stage and kind of hosting a little go-to live segment. And I think by introducing the toys with the actors that the toys represent, I mean, what could be better than that?
And a lot of people, you know, I mean, if nothing else, the actors were very charming. The highlight was Naomi Ackie and Kelly Tran. They both were just completely charismatic and excited to be there. Oscar Isaac and Kerry Russell were also very charming. They're perpetually available. Anthony Daniels, of course, was there.
Oh man.
Well, he's
so
got that book.
Cool.
What was the title going to be?
Inside the Mask.
No, it was Tell Me the Odds,
It was Tell Me the Odds, yeah. It should have been called The Golden Years.
Oh, Chris, that's so good.
Wow.
Oh, Chris, I think we could get him on the pod.
That's
honestly.
Honestly, what's he going to be doing in a year?
I mean, to be honest, what are we going to be doing?
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully talking to him.
Anthony, do you miss Star Wars too?
I just met in regards to Star Wars, but I'm sure he'll have cameos galore and all this extra stuff coming up.
I'm sure.
I mean,
the only thing we got here is this droid, and then it cuts to C-3PO.
Goodness gracious me.
It feels like Anthony Daniels really missed a trick. And Disney really made like a great call when they got Warwick Davis in as this like in this like host capacity that they now seem to be like leaning into,
because
he's absolutely a delight. He's really, really good at the actual like emceeing of an event and like riffing with people, and he seems to genuinely like have a passion for the franchise to like talk with anybody about it.
Yep.
If I may, and it's, you know, I'm having a punchy night. So let's... Warwick Davis has all the enthusiasm of an Anthony Daniels without the desperation.
That's fair.
I think that's a fair thing.
I want to make it clear. I would lay down in traffic to meet Anthony Daniels. So it's like, I'm not... But, you know, he's perpetually available.
We're nitpicking here, and that's fine. I think...
he never got his Willow.
No. And that's the other thing, is that Warwick has other ties to the franchise, which kind of allow him to be an outside perspective fan as well. Like, he's not... Mm-hmm. Sure, he's in the movies to a certain degree, but he's not, like, in the movies as much as C-3PO is. So I feel like...
He's in the movies more than we are.
Way more than we are.
He's
definitely
in the movies.
But I think that affords him a perspective where he can still be a fan without seeming like he's too... it's too inside baseball. So his enthusiasm is contagious.
Do you guys think that if George hadn't sold to Disney and he had done another pass at, you know, the Star Wars movies, adding things and stuff,
mm-hmm.
that we would have made it in to the yeah. second pass?
I think eventually he would have ran out of things to do, and we
Do you think we could have been like, we would have been like galactic podcasters, you know,
running
through something.
Oh, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, I think that maybe one of the four of us would have gotten hired to do some color commentary of a intergalactic microbial sporting event for midichlorians.
I read the scripts
of course,
of the proposed series, and all it was just pod races for 48 episodes. It was just different pod races that had commentary.
Now, seriously, we did actually. This wasn't even in the. I don't think this is. We're gonna go off the agenda already. But like, there were these comments from a lot from like Bob Iger and Disney related to George. A week or two ago now, where they talked about, you know, some friction there, and that George had provided treatments for the trilogy of films to Disney at the time of selling. And it sounded like both parties kind of acknowledged that there was a known presumption on George's part that those treatments would be what they move forward with, and mm-hmm. there was also a known, or at least calculated, decision at some point within Disney not to move forward with those, and that George was very disappointed. But the further rumor was, it kind of also perpetuated that part of these treatments was this rumored follow-up trilogy that we've heard about before that delved more into like the microbial midichlorian like cellular level of the Force as an exploration, which I'm on record as saying that I didn't want. Chris, I think you're on record as saying you did want an Osmosis Jones type Star Wars
love
movie.
It.
What do we think about on record?
Well, yeah, what do we think of this whole situation, Ryan? I turn it back to you.
As a huge fan of what they've done, right? So I love Episode 7 and I love Episode 8.
Absolutely.
You know, Solo, I have my things I love Rogue One. Anyway, well documented. Thank you.
I think my new take on Solo is now official after last week. Watched it on the plane.
The best way to watch everything.
Ryan,
Everybody's opinions of plane movies are accurate.
Ryan, you said documented. You said well documented. Let's just leave it at documented.
Anyway, so as a fan of what Disney has done, there will always be a piece of me that mourns that we never saw whatever George's final trilogy was. As bonkers as it may be, it's weird because I've read a lot of write ups on this from like film blogs, things like that. People being like, well, maybe it's best that we didn't get George's trilogy, and it's like, is it?
I don't think
I don't think that's true. This thing of like, it'd be better. So like, it's like with the prequels, right? People feel like because they may not like them, it'd be better if they didn't exist. That doesn't make sense to me. So it's like, I feel like, hey man, rock out this trilogy that we got going on. Wait another 5 years, then say, hey, these are, this is 7 Prime, 8 Prime, and 9 Prime.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do the George ones, or do like an animated version of it, like an Elseworlds story.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
I'm with you, Ryan. I think here's the thing I would enjoy. And much like I'm kind of enjoying the prequels over the last decade. I think it would have been great.
You're welcome.
To go back.
I know I'm a big part of that
you,
for people.
You probably are. I think it's
wait until I die. You guys are going to love the prequels.
That's my favorite movie of all time. I think having something to point back to be like, you know what? Those movies actually weren't that bad. You should give them a rewatch. And then they could have their own kind of like renaissance, I think would have been kind of fun. But I'm also glad we got good movies up front as well.
I'm always a proponent of the movies that you really got to let sit on the shelf.
Well, sometimes
for a
the movie
while.
Sometimes the movie is ahead of its time and it just doesn't fit quite yet.
Ryan, I think you've brought up a really interesting point. Maybe a little bit tongue in cheek with the like 7 prime, 8 prime, and 9 prime, but that idea of like making both sounds great to me.
That sounds experimental.
I think when you have the in the purely like binary sense, right? In the there is no gray area of there is only light and dark, you know, Sith or Jedi, no in betweens.
Well,
I guess
Sith deals in absolutes.
If I'm dealing in absolutes, have you ever heard the tale of Darth Plagueis?
Oh, that's gotta hurt.
if we're dealing in absolutes and I'm looking at the, you know, option of what I've heard rumored was in George's treatments versus what we are currently like experiencing and living in, I'm inclined to be happy we got what we did. And I don't think you're saying you're not. I just like that would be my preference for storyline because I don't quite see how the other would work. But there is this world in which the series we got, the 7, 8, 9 that we got, actually kind of didn't have to be 7, 8, 9. They could have been their own trilogy. You know, you didn't actually, you could have written around the legacy characters, and the legacy characters could have had their own, you know, whatever George wanted
for sure.
versions.
For
this
sure.
could have been
and that would have been kind of awesome.
Johnson's Blue Sky trilogy.
Right.
it's pretty
Green
it's
Harvest.
A pretty cool idea. And, oh, that was one of the other things that they said, that the original Episode 7 treatment actually had a lot more of what ended up going into Episode 8 in terms of Luke's exile and self-imposed exile and like the training. And it does seem like in some ways what we got with The Force Awakens was what was maybe desperately needed for the series in terms of like reintroducing and relaunching it in a big way under the Disney banner. But that the real, it's kind of interesting that when you look at it, like, the meat of the story of the new trilogy doesn't really get going until Episode 8. And that was potentially what was originally intended, you know, in those initial treatments, which is, it's interesting. It's an interesting what if. They
Here's
should do
the thing
a,
is
they should do a Marvel what if on this.
Well, what they should do is kind of like what they did with the Thrawn trilogy, which is like make a graphic novel out of it or something like that. That'd be cool. But
that would be neat to see it in
the
alternate form.
The bummer is because, and like I understand the logic here, so I'm not like one of those people that's like, why can't they? Yeah. But like the bummer is that because of like corporate politics, like we'll never know, like we'll never see these outlines. You know, like, it's like fans would want to see anything. So if they were like, listen, we're going to publish George's outlines in a collection with like story art and like concepts, but you know, like whatever it is. And like, they'll call it the archives. But because Disney can't put that out there for fear of people being like, why didn't they do this? Or constantly comparing them. We'll never see these things. Yeah. So like, to me, I'm just like, as a fan, just genuinely curious, like what was in there.
Yeah.
You know, because it's different than whatever the novelizations were, you know, with the Thrawn trilogy, which was often considered, like, you know, Heir to the Empire, which was considered
was
the unofficial episodes 7, 8, and 9 for a long time. And then, because canonically they kind of were. And then, you know, now they've decanonized that stuff, and we have what we got, which I'm very happy with. But to see what George's vision would have been.
Yeah.
You know what? He should just go rogue. I'm sure he signed an NDA or something. Yeah, but it's like people are walking out. Well, like Bob Iger is sitting there being like, I know what his outlines were. Yeah. I'm never going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you we're not going to do them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
also like, I don't love how like it was treated, you know, like they kind of were painting. Like, I'm not like categorically defensive of George. He's certainly like not a perfect person. He said some problematic things surrounding the Disney deal, as we know. It seems like less than classy to be like, for Bob Iger to talk about it this way?
Oh, absolutely. I think that we're witnessing a lot right now of like the Disney PR machine between between things that are going on with Marvel, like Marvel and Sony, things that are going on within the Star Wars camp. It's like these people are so efficient and so slick and their team is so coordinated. I mean, you kind of got to hand it to the PR team, because when you look at the actual media, it's like they really are coming out like looking good. But if you sort of peel back that gilding
it's
disconcerting.
Well, because the narrative that Bob Iger has is that we decided to make something for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what his side of the story is.
Well, I think there's quite a large amount of influence that the fans have, to kind of bring it back to where this tangent grew from. With some of the Force Friday reveals, there's a lot of like vintage kind of like nostalgia is in full stock now, obviously, with the dawn of this new trilogy. You start to see a lot of like t-shirts and like officially licensed posters that reference Revenge of the Jedi and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think there's always been this like fan call out to make merch and things like that. But George Lucas was always often very reluctant, because he is a bit like a vision purist, as we've often discussed on the podcast. Like, he doesn't care about the what if, like, he just does his own thing and then says, this is my vision, this is what I want. So he doesn't really reference the past. That's why we never got original versions out of him. And I feel like Disney might be a little more apt, if they have this kind of stuff, to release it, and if they know they're gonna make a chunk of change, would be more apt to be like, hey, here's like the lost scripts or something. Or maybe, who knows, maybe it'll be a Broadway play.
The lost scripts.
That's an interesting idea, Chris. Yeah. The idea of like, once we get into like, what ways are there to monetize this? Mm-hmm. I mean, the conversation could be different in 5 years or in 10 years.
It could be three books that are like the secrets of the wills or something. You know,
I mean, what we know for sure is that right now these are locked away in the Disney vault.
Yes,
they're locked away in the Disney vault.
When is the famed Disney vault open?
That we all wanted access to as kids.
I'm just worried when they open it, the Animaniacs are going to run out.
It's Warner's, my man.
Don't they all own each other now?
Who knows?
I think that there's going to be they said that you could read a PDF on Disney Plus.
So. Oh, nice. Yeah, that's perfect. On the Disney Plus PDF reader. So
what does triple refer to?
I think it's the amount of seconds of our attention span for the merch that came out.
Okay, moving on to our next topic.
I had one thing of note though. The Y-Fi.
Finally, we've arrived.
The Y-Wing. some might say the only thing of note. I'm just kidding. That happened episodes ago. The Y-Wing Starfighter that was featured as a Lego set had Kerry Russell's character driving it.
Yes.
So,
well,
that could mean either they've placed the Lego in the set and they're using imagination, or that she might be part of the Resistance in some way.
Now, Chris.
Yes.
Does this qualify as the second time that Lego has spoiled Star Wars for you?
Historically, Lego has ruined the ending to the second greatest trilogy of movies I've ever seen.
What if the big reveal, in episode 9 is like in a final, like, you know, like third act twist, you realize that Kerry Russell isn't a bad guy, but is in fact a Y-Wing pilot who's going to like...
That's
like
killing
Laura
me.
Dern herself.
That's
and
killing
you
me.
Just spoiled it for not
I'm
just
so sorry.
Yourself,
well, guess
but
what?
Us and all our loyal fans.
Lego.
They go, what is that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wait.
It's Felicity from the Americans.
And everybody's like, everybody's like, what'd she do to her hair?
Oh my God! It's season 2, Felicity.
Yeah,
from the
wait
Americans.
A second. She brings the haircut back from season 1, and everybody's freaking out.
Okay, so the spoiler is that Kerry Russell's character might fly a Y-wing.
What? I mean, who's got a Y-wing? I thought that was cool.
Who's got a Y-wing lying
around?
Like,
I do think they do tease out little story details with Legos, especially since they are so popular. So that was one.
And why do you think they do that?
Because lots of children buy them, and lots of adult men also buy them, or women, men or women. When I said adult men, I specifically people. Was referring to myself.
We got it.
So I don't know about you guys, but I might spend the weekend, might hit up a Target or a Walmart and check out some of the Legos that are coming out.
Gotta get your toilet paper and your official Star Wars merchandise.
Yeah.
This is non-sponsored content. I just want all of our droid heads to know out there, you can buy Lego wherever you'd like to buy Lego. Or you can buy plastic building bricks wherever you like to buy plastic
brand,
building bricks. We are not a sponsored podcast.
And to one very special droid head out there named Mike, we apologize for destroying everything you've built in your absence.
That was Legos.
Are we ready to move on, or Chris, did you want to bring up that there was a Lego in a ship?
I'm good now.
I wanted to say that Naomi Aki's Funko Pop had a big head, so maybe in the movie her character has a really big head. You know, we don't know if that Funko Pop is.
It just bobbles around. We don't know. Yeah. The Funko Pop heads bobble.
It might be CGI accurate. Anyway. Another big thing that happened this week, we found out that Deborah Chow will be directing the Obi-Wan series,
woo!
Which is very exciting. Deborah Chow, if you don't know, is a very accomplished television director. She's directed episodes of Better Call Saul. She's directed episodes of American Gods, Mr. Robot, Lost in Space, which is on Netflix and totally awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Marvel
stuff.
It is
really good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
She didn't get to it. Mandalorian.
Yes, she's directed episodes of The Mandalorian. So this is exciting stuff. We know that with the TV, especially in the TV arm behind the camera, they've been doing a lot, getting a lot more diverse people behind the camera.
Mm-hmm.
The Mandalorian had Taika Waititi, Bryce Dallas Howard, and now we have Deborah Chow directing the entire Obi-Wan series. I think I don't know if they officially said she's doing the entire thing.
Yeah,
this is my question. I'm like, it did make me wonder. First of all, like, is this a more limited series? Does that mean it's a shorter run that one director's doing it? Also, is she? I was confused about the idea of like, this is different than a showrunner.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was odd that they, like, normally with a TV series, you'd announce a showrunner, right?
Yeah,
that would
exactly.
be the first
I mean,
thing.
I think,
and so in this
I
case,
think,
they're announcing a director. So
yeah,
I have a feeling it's a limited series.
Yes. And also, I feel like with this kind of model, I know Jon Favreau's kind of a sellable name. I think this kind of model, Lucasfilm is the showrunner on these, for better or for worse, I think. I think they're kind of trying to really bridge that gap by just heightening
Jon Favreau hear you say that.
Heightening the variety of directors, of quality directors, to be like, we got a movie director quality lineup here. And also, I'm just so happy to see anyone from the Gilliganiverse work on any other TV shows, because they're all super talented.
Now, Chris, you and I had speculated just this week about what... I think I'm with you guys. This is probably a limited series, and I think part of that has to do with, you know, the chips they're cashing in for the talent involved. I mean, specifically, Ewan McGregor is a huge star. He's in movies, and also I think Chris, you and I were speculating about another part of his compensation package.
Yeah, I feel like so with the Disney Fox merger, Disney now has National Geographic, which is a channel that features many different travel shows. What would be better than a travel show on a motorcycle? Maybe when you take the long way, diagonally.
Let's take the long way about.
The long way about.
With you and Charlie.
This is a joke for an audience of three.
This is great. So
hey, and we're all here, baby. We're all enjoying it.
People that,
him and Charlie hop on some land speeders.
Sam and I
they
have
just,
a...
They zip across the Tatooine desert.
Sam they just watch the tarmac stretch out in front of you for miles.
We have a joint hot and fresh that you and Charlie Borman will be doing another motorcycle series, and that was part of this deal. Because he even mentions kind of that the Star Wars series like funded the other two.
And you guys can basically take this one to the bank. I think on analysis, you'll see that it's well thought out, it's well reasoned, it makes perfect sense. But honestly, I guess as Ryan said, if this is in fact playing to an audience of three, if you're sitting there about to, but wait, don't stop the pod, don't hit stop just yet. If you're about to, what I'd urge you to do instead is look up The Long Way Round or The Long Way Down, which we might have mentioned before, but they're these like multi-part series. They were produced by, I don't know if it was BBC, but it was some British network between the filming of some of the prequels. Ewan McGregor and his friend Charlie Borman, who's an actor he knows from his days in the theater, they do tours initially around the circumference of the world, and then they drive from the top of the UK down to the tip of Cape Town.
They are very impressive stories, and also you get a really good candid look at Ewan McGregor, and he is, I think, genuinely a fan. They go to visit Star Wars, to bring it back to Star Wars. They do visit some of the sets of Star Wars in the desert.
It's just a charming, like, it's a fun documentary. It's two friends. It's very funny. Yeah, I think anybody who's a fan of Star Wars, you'd be crazy not to like it.
Yeah, and we're hoping for another one with Ewan, who is just as charming as ever now. So,
and not just a fan of Star Wars, just a more fan charming. Of hunks. Is he like hunks on motorcycles?
Hey.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. Then you're going to get one.
Then.
So, yeah, Deborah Chow, just of note, every series that she's kind of directed are series that are very visually striking, which I think is going to be a key part of the Obi-Wan series, because one has to assume that there's going to be some kind of solitude involved.
Yeah.
I have said that one of my dream directors for the Obi-Wan series would be Gus Van Sant, and just him in shallow focus in the desert. But I'm happy that we got Deborah Chow, and I hope she directs the entire series. It'd be great for there to be kind of a cohesive voice. And honestly, my dream for it, six episodes.
Boom. Limited series.
Yeah,
I love
I'm thinking six.
That's like, all we need.
No, yeah. No fathom.
No more than eight.
No more than eight.
Don't give me 13 episodes. It's too many.
I'll take a block of 12, though. How about that?
Yeah, all right. Okay. Look, so if I we're said 13, up to, you went with 12.
If we're getting up to 12... We call it a dozen, and we don't tell Ryan that it's actually
Let's
Vegas
just do
dozen.
A CBS 23 episode.
Let's just do a full thing. Let's have him solving crimes. He'll put on the glasses at the end. Guess he didn't know where to hide his lightsaber.
Boom! Speaking of lightsabers.
Yeah.
Guys, Disney, because of bad attendance, had to call in the ringers. They had to call in Neil Patrick Harris and Keegan-Michael Key.
They got the ringers. Classic.
To talk about Galaxy's Edge on television. To beg you to go.
It was a two-hour special on Freeform.
The timing of this really, really, like, rang transparent to me. Like, it was very desperate. It felt like this idea of, like, a full month after the launch of your second theme park, you're doing a show that's like all about how wonderful and like building hype. It felt like a very late
beforehand.
Play. Yeah. You would expect that
the park's
piece
not
to go
finished.
Well, and it's still not done.
Did anybody watch it? Chris, you watched a little, you said?
So I watched maybe about 45 minutes of it. A lot of commercials, but...
wait. Sorry.
That number's been inflated a little.
I've got to say, before we started recording, Chris is like, I watched the intro, and now... Yeah. 45 minutes is the intro? My man, that's a lot.
Let's just say I got to the Jay Leno bit. He's in it. He's flying the Falcon. If you're wondering what Jay was up to, tune in.
Wait, hold on. Is that a bit, or was Jay Leno
No, Jay Leno's actually in it.
Oh, God. Thank God I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
He has a couple of. I hear he has got a couple of speeders in his garage.
Exactly. Hey, I'm gonna Millennium Falcon.
Do they have denim in space?
Yeah, they are a space denim.
He likes to hide in the little compartments under the floor and listen to executives tell him if he's going to get the Tonight Show.
Right, that's exactly what he did. He got the Tonight Show. He stole it from the DJ from the Star Tours.
Well, he stole it from Unkar Plot, who stole it from Duquesne.
Exactly. That's wow, Ryan. That was very good.
Thank you. I didn't think it got the recognition it deserved in the moment.
That was impressive. It was pretty much like an instructional video. I feel like almost it was showing me a little too much. It was kind of saying, hey, parents, if you don't know what happens here, here's verbatim everything you can do down to building a lightsaber. Like, it showed you step by step. So I think maybe that is just geared towards a new generation where that is kind of sort of. It was actually spoiling a little bit for me, so I turned it off because they were showing some of the Falcon Run stuff and the in-between bits were great, but I wanted some surprises.
So what you're telling me is kind of like a theme park unboxing video?
Essentially, yes. It was going through... that's kind of funny. That's a very funny concept.
Sam, funny.
That is good.
Very funny.
Also in Galaxy's Edge news... In Galaxy's Edge news, Disney announced that Rise of the Resistance, the huge attraction that is not yet open, will be at least 15 minutes long. So with the rumored 10-hour wait times, that's a 40-to-1 return on investment for you.
So you plan out the week, and you'll have the best 15 minutes of your life. But they did have some of the stars. George Lucas showed up talking about the park, and he said it was like a movie set. Thanks, George. And
so everyone who's been has talked about
it. I imagined it's not what I would have done.
everybody who's been loves to talk about how it's like, oh man, it's like being like on a foreign planet. It's like being in a Star Wars movie, and George is like, it's like being on set.
Exactly.
Well, he was there.
Yeah, I guess he
this isn't as real to me as it is to you guys, because I like saw it, you know. I was there.
Yeah. So but it wasn't too much breaking news. It was fun to see stuff, and it reminded me of one of those old school like TGIF specials when you're like, why aren't my shows on? And they're like, well, we're going to show you Disney World. You're like, oh my gosh.
There is something nostalgic to me about it. Now, real question that's on everyone's mind. Did Neil Patrick Harris do any magic?
Honestly, I don't know if I made it to that, but I suspect that'd probably be in there.
There you go. Confirmed. He did.
There it is.
You heard it here first. Last but not least, there was a reveal of a new alien today.
Mm-hmm.
in the internetosphere.
Yes,
and I like the looks of it.
It's attached to a contest as well, right?
Yeah, there's a sweepstakes of sorts.
Yeah, his name is Babu Frick. I love the name.
Hey, Chris, what's his name?
Babu Frick.
Gesundheit.
That's called an alley-oop, my friends.
I very much like him, and the description of him is that he can rewire any droid or security system.
This is perfect.
Do we know who voices or him or her? I don't know.
Oh.
Do we know who voices said alien?
I'm going to be honest. I hope he doesn't talk.
He may be non-conforming.
Yep.
Whatever.
They don't talk.
Whatever Babu Frick may be, I don't know who voices Babu Frick.
I would love if Babu Frick
you
was
hope
just...
That, why do you hope they don't talk?
Because I want Babu Frick just to go like, wow, like just like look
oh,
at...
Oh, I see. Like, you want a character that just kind of goes
just cut to reaction.
Hmm.
You know, like in the first Star Trek with Simon Pegg, when he's like, you don't eat. You could eat like a bean and be full. And he just goes, wah. Like, I want one of those.
Oh, that little guy? Keenzer? Like a bean and you're done. Yeah, sure.
Keenzer, right?
Is that his name?
Yeah, he sneezes like acid. that comes up in Into Darkness, but which is a highly underrated movie. It's great.
I love this guy. It seems like the internet is really taken to him just because from one picture, now everyone's like, we stand for Babu. So
the design of Babu, they're very cute in a grotesque way.
Yeah.
And I mean, no one's talking about this. I mean, there's a weird thing to follow it up with. They are they're positively scrotal. I used the medical term. It's fine.
Okay.
It's
we'll beep that out.
It's true. Yeah. I like the idea.
I'm not beeping out anything.
I'm just kidding.
Don't body shame Babu Frick.
They did a really smart thing with, like, you know, the idea of, like, a very tiny creature, but with these, like, big, very dexterous hands.
I love that.
It's a fun design.
I'll tell you what, he looks like goggles every time.
Goggles up on the head always looks cool.
That's definitely true. And then they don't have to animate as many blinks when he's welding.
That's how you, the goggles up on the head in sci-fi is a good way of being like, this character is eccentric and is cool with it.
Right, and has the profession of engineer.
Yeah, it's technically skillful.
So what's the contest they're doing?
Let's see. StarWars.com.
So basically,
you get tickets to the premiere, right?
Okay, so if you tweet at Star Wars,
get a chance to attend the premiere.
So you tag the thing.
It says, see a Star Wars Rise of Skywalker image and get a chance to attend the premiere. Does that mean we only need to see the image to enter? I imagine we have to do more than that.
Yeah. Babu Frick.
Go to StarWarWars.com. Don't worry about it. I don't even know if we're legally allowed to tell you what the parameters are.
Yeah. Just go to NFL.com.
I can tell you that there's no purchase necessary.
No purchase necessary. That's great because they already have all of our money anyhow. So there will be purchase necessary.
Yeah, there will most certainly be purchases necessary.
We actually, just while we're on this, there have been a few images released lately. There was a new one of Kylo Ren.
Something big's happening.
He's on the bridge. It looks like he's on the bridge or like landing bay of a First Order destroyer.
Was that Vanity
Empire
Fair?
Magazine?
Oh, Empire,
Empire Magazine. Gotcha.
It looks like either some kind of pressurization has been ruptured on the Star Destroyer.
Mm. Also,
or that the helicopter's coming with Richard Attenborough. Let him know that the funding finally came through.
You think that's still going to happen? You think we're going to get a sequel where he comes back? He's like, hey, he has a big fat check.
Also came out today, Chris Terrio, co-writer of Episode 9, said that Episode 9 will answer the question, how powerful is the Force? So,
Well, there we go.
You know what? Yeah. I don't know how literal that's being.
Yeah.
Everyone who's complained
about midichlorians taking the magic out of it, if they're literally going to say how powerful the Force is,
I don't think you're going to understand.
Although you'll probably hate that too.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
I think Rey's going to be lifting a Death Star out of the water.
I would rather see a Death Star come out of the sky. I'd rather see a Death Star come down than go up. I see.
You see
I was
what
thinking
I'm
Star Destroyer. Yeah, she's lifting the Death Star.
Yeah, the down Death Star.
Death Star down.
There was also an image of the Knights of Ren.
Yes. We got some more Knights of Ren.
I feel like I've seen that image a lot.
Yeah. I've seen it in The Force Awakens.
It's been floating around.
Well,
yeah. Hey, do you think it's a coincidence that Kylo Ren was featured in Empire magazine?
No, I think if he'd been featured in First Order magazine, there might have been.
That would be Rey's Parents Weekly.
Made sense. He's in Teacher Mag. The education.
He's in Babu Frick Monthly.
Bless you.
Can't get rid of this cold.
I do like the idea. We're rambling here, but the reason I brought up the images coming out is like it is this excitement of this movie is coming in December. Mm-hmm. We are entering October and we're starting to see like images and promotional images drop and things that are attached, like they're not directly like promoting the movie, but they're part of that like ancillary marketing campaign.
Yeah.
That's
they're
like,
the Pepsi
oh, it's making
cans.
They're,
yep.
they're the Pepsi cans.
I'm one
press
Pizza Hut commercial photo away from passing out with excitement. When I see that, get your force filled pepperoni pizza and there's just like a little Star Wars logo on the box. That's when I'm like, I'm full bore. I'm all in.
Or when they're crust. Like, I'm sorry, we're all out of stuffed crust, and then They just show Darth Vader and you hear a lightsaber light up.
Yeah.
Pizza you will have.
Why don't they make a pizza dough that's like stamped out and shaped like the Millennium Falcon?
Maybe somebody makes their pizzas like that at home.
Sam, stop giving away ideas for free. We got to make a living.
Hey, wow. Mike, come back.
Mike, as always, as I think we're reaching the end of this. Yeah. Mike, as always, all apologies.
Yes.
We hope that your interview with Stephanopoulos goes well. I feel like there's probably a lot to talk about this week with George Stephanopoulos.
Pretty good.
And that's quite a get.
Yes.
We'll be doing that with our crossover with Pod Save America.
That's right. Well,
and that's about it.
With the other Favreau.
Speaking of things that are limited, our podcast. If you like this or didn't like us, let us know. Follow us on Instagram at droidspod. Email us droidspod@gmail.com. Tweet at us. Very popular nowadays. At Droids Pod. You can find us on Facebook. Just search the Droids You're Looking For podcast, or I'm sure there's a Facebook URL. Please, if you like this podcast, the best thing you can do is rate, like, review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever fine podcasts are listened to. We'll be next
let's
to those
really
fine
get a,
podcasts.
Let's get a campaign going. Let's move us up in the rankings. Well, I'll tell you what, we're gonna take this week, Droids. We're gonna take this week, and we're gonna come up with something really great that we're gonna do for all those people.
But you gotta listen next week, otherwise you won't know what it is.
But you gotta rate, review, and subscribe. You know what you gotta do?
Yeah,
you gotta sneak in to your friends and significant other's phones, and you got to subscribe them.
When you're on your significant other's phones reading through the text all suspiciously, while you're doing it, just make sure you subscribe to a podcast.
You know what I like to do? When I'm on the street, I tell strangers that my phone's broken and I have to contact someone for in case of emergency. Grab their phone, give ourselves a little like, a subscribe. It's great.
Well, but then you usually tell them that because in case they have to call you back, you should probably hang out with them all day.
Yeah, exactly. And again, Ryan, it was lovely to meet you. And I'm so glad our friendship blossomed into this. Hey, guys.
Well, that'll do it. For the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. What they throw?
Abby?
Babu Booey.
Oh boy.
Babu Booey.
Oh boy, it's Babu Frick.
Babu. Babu Booey.
Oh.